Welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Hughes, the black dude who's number one in the streets. And I'm welcoming my co-host, writer, movie fan, Superman in the streets, super freak in the sheets, Tony Hoffman.
And the People Magazine's World's Sexiest Man.
Yeah.
Or Sexiest Man Alive.
Or as they referenced on Saturday Night Live, sexiest writer, sexiest comedy writer, I think it was Colin Jost. So you can claim the title of sexiest freelance writer. There you go. It's like in the era of giving very specific titles to people.
Who called him the sexiest comedy writer?
I think he was in that same People magazine that listed Blake Shelton as sexiest man alive.
That whole thing is garbage.
Yeah, just like, really? Just like all the responses to that, like, wow, did everyone die? I mean, even Blake Shelton was like, I guess they're just looking for people who are somewhat symmetrical now. So I like that he was able to crack fun at it too. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when was the last black sexiest man alive?
Probably Denzel.
I guess. But it's like, how, like, Denzel's face didn't fall off. He looks pretty much the same, but whatever. Anyways.
How was your week? Did you have a chance to watch Justice League?
Why, yes, I did. I did watch it. How about you?
I saw it Monday.
All right. I saw it just yesterday, actually.
How did the theater look?
Jam-packed? Yeah, it was decent, a decent turnout. People who I expected to be there were there.
Oh, you mean people you know or just the demographic of people?
All of the above. What was your experience in the theater? Was it annoying? Because,
yes,
crowded?
It was both, you know, because it was like a press screening where they gave like, you know, the free sort of, you know, first come first serve tickets. It was like a long line and every seat was full, and because it was put together by the studio, it was a whole lot of, okay, like we want to put your arms in the air so we can take this photo for the people at Warner Brothers for the Chicago screening and all of that. And
yeah. So you saw it free, and full disclosure, I did as well.
Sweet. Was Richard Roper and all the critics at your screening?
No, it was very limited audience. Some would say it was almost as if I was in an intimate setting, like a living room, so to speak.
You got a critic screener. Air quotes.
Yeah. So, how did you like the movie?
I thought it was not good.
Yeah.
I thought it made no sense at parts. Things I didn't really believe that they were a team that you know, liked to be around each other. I didn't understand some of their motivations, and it was pretty much a mess.
Yeah. I mean, I can't summarize it any differently, I don't think.
I can say that, like, you can clearly see that it was one thing, you know, before Batman v Superman came out, and then it became something completely different and chopped up and recolored and jokes added, and basically it's like the whole movie is like this sort of sizzle reel of, like, jokes and like action scenes, but not much of a coherent film.
And that stuff did not land most of the time. Like, Batman comedy is not anything that I'm like that I was looking for. Like, not even it wasn't even like a really bad era Batman where he pulls out like the bat American Express. So never leave home without it. It was just like,
Schumacher.
Really, yeah. It wasn't even that like fun cheese. It was just like, oh, this is a desperate call for help, because just like, what's your superpower? I'm rich. It's like. It's weird.
Aren't you supposed to be the world's greatest detective, and you're supposed to be the loner who doesn't want to be on a team? And
yeah, he's just going and revealing his secret identity to this kid who just accepted his offer. There's a lot of logic leaps you have to make in this movie. So I feel like we should get into spoilers here, because like, if you've seen it, if you wanted to see it, you've seen it. If you didn't, you probably don't care about getting spoiled anyway. So, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I didn't care for Steppenwolf much at all.
Nobody cared for fucking Steppenwolf, because he's a C-list villain.
And
completely CGI for no reason. Like, why is he CGI?
Yeah, because like, it's a person with like
a stupid hat,
makeup, and a hat on, but like, it's completely digitally animated because reasons. But also, wasn't the creature that they showed in the deleted scene from Batman vs. Superman, I thought that was Steppenwolf.
I don't know.
Because it was another thing with giant horns in, like, when they showed Lex Luthor in that one deleted scene they put up on YouTube. It was Lex Luthor in, the pool of blood or whatever the hell it was, amniotic fluid. And then they showed this giant creature in there with mother boxes floating in its hands. But who knows what that ended up being, because I guess they technically retconned that, because they showed this creature with mother boxes, but then in this movie they have Steppenwolf, I guess, 2.0 chasing mother boxes. So
was it like a vision of Lex Luthor?
They didn't explain it. They showed, because I'm
that's
trying to
a
remember.
Running thing, by the way, things not being explained.
Yeah, it really didn't make sense. Also, like, okay, so they showed the Amazons, like, guarding their mother box, and then Steppenwolf just shows up. Like, what exactly happened there?
I think that, like, they explained it, like, with Superman being dead, Earth is unprotected, so now it's, like, ripe for the picking or some shit. And
yeah, so, okay, well, whatever. But it's just like, okay, so these parademons just show up before Steppenwolf is there? Like, where did they come from? Because they're just flying around on Earth. Just for no reason.
I don't know. I mean, just from like our knowledge of knowing these comics, Darkseid,
mm-hmm.
Apocalypse, perhaps.
I know this. Like, that's their home world, but they were there already. they're just there, because in the beginning, like, is it the first scene or is one of the first scenes in the movie? Like, Batman is chasing this guy, and he, like,
which makes no sense. Like, so he's like, he's that guy's a burglar or a criminal.
Yeah, he's
right?
Using him as bait.
But then I thought that he was just like some undercover cop or something, because then Gordon shows up.
Yeah, it was weird. And it was all just a ploy to catch this parademon, but it's like, okay, those things are there already, so was Steppenwolf on Earth already, or what?
And then the parademon explodes, and then there's these markings.
Yeah, and then why did it explode? It just self-destructed? Was that supposed to be the idea? Or he didn't blow it up? I don't know.
I don't know. And also, like, why? Okay, so Earth is now unprotected with Superman being gone. What the hell is stopping them for the thousands of years that, you know, between Steppenwolf being captured and Superman not being there?
Also, Earth was unprotected before Superman. Earth was unprotected because of the fact that Wonder Woman was just like chilling and hiding out somewhere. Like, there's a lot of,
because her boyfriend died, like some fucking idiot.
Yeah, her boy,
heartbroken.
Her boyfriend died, so she takes what, 60, 70 years to get over it.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
It's not good. it's very not good. Entertaining to like read and like watch some of these reviews where they like DC finally gets it. They made a fun movie. This is a step in the right direction. Some have even said they love the movie.
Yeah, that's a that I don't get that, but sure. There's some people who loved Batman versus Superman. And I won't take that away from them. That is their prerogative.
Whatever makes you happy, you know, whatever.
But it's
a shame that like these movies aren't being measured by like the normal sort of like way that we measure a good movie. They're being measured against they're being measured against the other shitty DC movies. Why like a movie like Wonder Woman gets like a 90-something% on Rotten Tomatoes. And stuff like that.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, with Wonder Woman, they made a decent movie, but on their standards, it's like top five movies of all time.
Like, it should be rated higher than The Avengers and some of these other better movies on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, but it's just like, I tell you, expectations really weigh heavily into this stuff. Like, I think even with as low of expectations as I had for Justice League, it's still kind of, I mean, I guess I'm not mad because it met my low expectations.
I wasn't expecting it because anybody who saw the trailers, I mean, what the hell were you expecting?
Yeah, but it's like, just from the name recognition alone, you would say, like, if Batman versus Superman didn't happen, you, and this came about, you'd be like, okay, this should be great. Like, there's no reason it shouldn't be. You got iconic characters on screen together, but it's like, well, we know how you can mess that up, and we've seen that already. So it's just par for the course at this point.
And it's just like the characters, like their powers aren't like well defined.
No, like basically, Cyborg can do anything the plot requires at any given point.
Yeah, he's evolving. He's getting.
He's a Swiss Army knife.
Exactly, and like does Aquaman have super strength? He can crash through buildings on top of someone like a surfboard.
Apparently,
and he comes out unscathed, and he flips his hair.
Yeah,
it's a bad CGI.
Also, in that fight scene underwater, where he was fighting,
he's holding his breath.
Well, I didn't even notice if he was doing that, but it's like he's fighting Steppenwolf underwater, and he does this like flip where he grabs him by the horns and throws him. So I guess those horns, well, that's not clearly defined. Like, those horns aren't attached, because at the end of the movie, the helmet like falls off.
Yeah.
But like when he throws him underwater, he's like goes with the hat. So does he have horns under that helmet that are also hooked in there? I don't know. Too much logic. Because I would assume, like,
it's convenient.
Because, like, grabbing the horns, that should just pull his hat off, but whatever.
And that's about as much as we learn about Aquaman and his land, I guess, that one scene.
Yeah, he gets that whole exposition scene, like, yeah, my mom abandoned me here when I was a child, and, like, okay.
Yeah, we get a lot of those exposition scenes.
Yeah,
especially when they try to explain why we should give a shit about Steppenwolf, who the fuck he is, and yeah. Imagine if they did that with like Loki or some of the other like Marvel heroes, like Thanos.
I mean, they've done that with characters we don't give a shit about, like the Dark Elves. It's like, exactly. Oh, this is what why this is important. Also, it plays into a theme in DC movies. They gave an allusion to a much more interesting event than what we were watching in this movie. Like
the whole payoff with the whole night, the whole Flash going back in time to talk to Bruce Wayne. That doesn't get paid. They just drop that altogether.
Yeah, it's like, what does that even mean? Like, I could understand them not explaining it, so to speak, like with Barry Allen, because technically he wouldn't know what was going on there because he hasn't done it yet. But like, we don't even get a reference to that. He doesn't even say like, hey, I met you once before. and or something like that, because you could have had a little comedy moment when they want to wedge all this comedy in there with the Flash, who's like the most awkward and unfunny character of the group. But they could have had Bruce saying like, "Hey, I met you once before," and he would just have an awkward response like, I don't know what you're talking about," and they could have moved on, and that would have at least been addressed. But they don't approach it at all. Also, he's like trying to figure out if this guy is fast. I guess you didn't know if he was fast or not. You just know he could travel through time, and he doesn't even ask anything about that. So whatever.
The whole big like moment in this movie in the middle when Superman is brought back to life in the toilet water from the General Zod's ship.
Yeah.
The cube that can bring people back to life, apparently.
Yeah, like, they use the mother box, right? The mother box, exactly. Mixed with the birthing fluid.
Flash has to power it up by touching it right as it hits the water or some shit.
Yeah.
That whole, like, Superman, that's supposed to be, like, a big moment because Superman's dead, and it just comes off, it just doesn't come off as emotionally impactful as it should have been.
No, and then the whole thing, like, I got it slightly spoiled for me before I watched it.
That Superman's coming, that would not be dead?
No, not, like, I knew that from Batman vs. Superman. But, like, they hinted at the fact that, oh, this might be an evil Superman when he comes back, but it wasn't that at all. That was a letdown. I thought it was going to be, like, Injustice level storyline of, like, Superman just completely going dark. He was just, like, a confused super strong guy who just came back from being dead, and it was just like a skirmish, like, oh, now I remember, bye, I'll be back later when the plot demands a deus ex machina. Yeah.
Because if he's just there, you know, from that moment on, then the whole movie he just doesn't even need everybody else. He just, you know, does the whole, you know, ass kicking of the villain himself.
Well, you know, you needed Cyborg. He was important there to split open the mother boxes or whatever. I feel like more than anything, this movie was like a mother box origin story. Like, I feel like that got more attention than
mother box. Like, why would
character development?
Like, even if that's how it is in like the comics, like, why would you even do a story like that? That's so similar to the Avengers and the, you know, the whole Tesseract, aka the Infinity, you know,
yeah,
stones.
And it's like, just like everything they've done in this DC, it's funny when people call it the DCEU, because I found out that's not even an official term, and nobody at Warner Brothers uses it. It's just like some writer from Screen Rant made it up, and then it took off. But in this DC movie universe,
tricked.
Yeah, but it still plays into that same theme of like, hey, let's cram everything we can, our parallels to the Marvel Universe that they've spread out over like 20 movies. Let's do that stuff all in one movie.
Same, like, jokes and these same ideas that we've seen in other movies.
Yeah, but it's like they did their version of the Infinity Stones, but they just did them all in one movie. Like, there's these three really important mother boxes. He got one super easy, but we're going to drag it out the process. Well, he got two of them super easy. We're going to drag out the process of him finding this last one that the regular humans just bury in a shallow grave. Like, oh, they're all super well hidden and all these people are guarding them. And then these Vikings are just like, it's about 3 feet. That's deep enough. And they just throw dirt on. It's like, really?
And he just wants to take over the world.
Yeah, because
same old.
And it's weird because like he's supposed to be this huge threat, but we know what the bigger threat is, and that only gets a passing reference. Like,
and like, I don't even think they're gonna
Darkseid
introduce Darkseid. Like they just drop that all together.
So there you go. There's that. Because like, I guess they were supposed to be preparing the way for Darkseid to come back.
The new gods.
But then, like, I guess maybe because he was thwarted in terraforming the Earth, that Darkseid, it's uninhabitable for him.
Or Batman v Superman ate shit and how they're dropping it all together.
Yeah. So it's just a whole lot of nothing burger from this movie.
Did you appreciate like the whole? Did you appreciate them using the whole? Wait a second.
Now, we are disconnected from Tony at the moment, but one thing I'm going to say about Batman v Superman that I thought was slightly interesting was the small scene we had with Cyborg and his father. I thought that was interesting. It was just like a lot of other moments in the movie, just straight up exposition, but I did like the acting work that was done by, I don't know who the actor who plays Cyborg is, but I like how he and his father were bouncing off of each other. I like that they established his, like, hey, he didn't want this. He wanted to stay dead, as it were. We get a parallel to that slightly with Superman when he comes back. When he's angry, he's like, I did like the line that he says to Batman, like, you won't let me live and you won't let me die. That was one good moment. Story wise, this movie had a lot of problems, but, certain moments worked, but, those were few and far between. I'm going to try to reconnect with Tony and see if, we can get him back on the line. Hello.
Hey. I got some packages in the mail.
All right. Did you get your Amazon exclusive Batman versus Superman press kit box with pop vinyl figures and all that stuff like YouTubers get?
From the screening, or are you implying that I ordered them in the mail?
I'm implying that you may have received something from Warner Brothers in exchange for a positive review, because that's what they do to YouTubers.
All I got was a shitty poster.
All right.
I think there was like some thing that if you dressed like the first 20 people that dressed up in costume,
Jesus Christ,
okay, got like some hat or some shit. And there weren't anyone dressed in costume.
Because they didn't want to look like a complete fool on the way there and back. It's just like, hey, look at me, I'm a nerd. You should rob me.
AMC River East.
Yeah, that's I don't think I would do it either. I mean, I have my Batman shirt on right now. That's as much of a costume as I would possibly wear.
What did you think of Danny Elfman, who did the score for the movie using his Tim Burton's Batman theme and the John Williams Superman theme too?
Those were some of the only things where I was like, ah, okay, that's cool. There was also.
Those made me want to watch those other movies.
Yeah. They also made me want to watch Batman the Animated Series, because there was the one scene of him posing just like in the cartoon, and you hear the Batman the Animated Series theme as like Commissioner Gordon's looking up at him. So I did like that moment. But I was, while I was waiting for you to reconnect, I was telling the audience that I did enjoy the one line. There's like certain lines in the movie I thought were good, but the one line that Superman says as he's, I guess he kind of remembers who he is, but he's just angry at being brought back alive. But I like when he was choking Batman.
The bleed, yeah.
Well, not even that one. That's just kind of like, yeah, I get it. But I like.
I mean, first you want to.
You won't let me live, and you won't let me die. Like, I did like that. I felt like that was enough of a line where you could have justified him just being a straight up heel and just being like, I'm going to kill all of you because, like, I died because of you once. I'm not going to waste this second life being the same person. So, but they decided to go against that and just have him be plain old Superman again.
I can't think of a scenario where I would want to watch this movie ever again.
I can't either. Actually, let me disconnect with you and call back, because it sounds kind of muffled.
Okay.
Oh, I think you got it now. There you go.
Okay.
All right, that's better.
Yeah, it's like maybe if it's on cable or something. Like I'm certainly not gonna buy it.
I don't know, because there's the thing. There's like even the movies that I don't like superhero movies. There's certain scenes where it's like I'll just go back and watch that scene again, but I can't even think if there's one of those. in this
when you
movie.
Look at a movie like Batman v Superman, it's not a good movie, but at least it's an interesting. It's much more interesting than this movie. At least that movie is attempting to make some sort of comment on something.
Yeah, at least it was a response to something, and so they had that angle. It's like, oh, everybody's mad that Superman killed so many people, so that's their hook into it. This movie didn't really have a reason for taking place.
Snyder is taking some chances there, and even though it fails miserably, at least it's trying to say something. This movie is so inoffensive and so just there.
Yeah, it's really one of those when we get to like movie number 15 in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and they say like, oh, this was just like a placeholder. It's like, this is their big epic movie they've been leading to and it feels like a placeholder.
This is supposed to be like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, the Justice League movie, and it just feels like, I heard someone say it feels like the type of like superhero movie that came out after like the first X-Men movie in 2000. This like this sort of meh sort of cash in.
Yeah, that's the one thing that my wife said about the movie. Like, this feels like really old. Like, yeah, it does. It's just weird. Now, in the viewing experience that I partook in, I was not able to see the two end credit scenes. So can you enlighten me on those, or were you able to see those?
Oh, are you saying that the two end credit scenes wasn't a part of your quote unquote critics screener that the studio?
No, it's some things they save for the theatrical release.
So the middle credit scene is this sort of a humorous take on the Flash and Superman race each other.
Okay.
Thing. It's pretty much it's lighthearted and jokey, and as soon as the race starts and they do a freeze frame and the credits continue.
Okay. All right. That's whatever.
It feels like it would have worked if this were a much better
movie. If it was a different movie and like Superman was involved the whole time. And
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the end credits scene was Lex Luthor has escaped prison. The cops show up to a cell, and it's someone made to look like Lex Luthor.
Okay.
Lex Luthor is on a yacht. Someone comes out of. I want a boat. Somebody shows up on another boat. It is Deathstroke, played by what's his face from True Blood, the vampire, Mr. Sofia Vergara. Joe Montalbano.
Oh, Joe Manganiello. So he's Deathstroke. Okay.
And they're pretty much setting up the Legion of Doom, which could be a sequel to any of these DC movies. So.
That's the problem is that like now, like all the only thing that I wanted as I was watching Justice League was like, oh, wouldn't it have been much cooler if Superman was here the whole time? It's like now I have to wait for Justice League 2 for that. And
Jesus Christ.
Guess if there was any, there's a few things that Justice League did as far as positives, I guess you could say. It makes you appreciate Batman versus Superman more. And it makes
you want to watch a Wonder Woman sequel.
Well, yeah, that. I mean, I wanted to watch that after Wonder Woman, number one. Number Wonder Woman. But. Like, also, it makes you appreciate Superman slightly more. It's like, you know what? This is even darker without Superman. Like, it was dark with him, but it's even darker, like, with these just, like, these B-teamers. And you see how, I mean, on one hand, you see how unnecessary they are.
Henry Cavill and his, like, shitty CGI upper
his face.
Is still terrible. He's still wooden.
I don't understand I have a question. Like, I think this was the very first scene in the movie. It's like the cell phone footage of like kids talking to Superman, just asking him questions.
Yeah.
So that
was nice.
Yeah, but it's like they that was clearly a reshoot. They're like, I guess we need to put this in the movie somewhere. We need another moment of Henry Cavill, I guess. But like this, it could have been you could have taken or left that moment out. And specifically due to the fact that you have a close-up shot of this guy with a horribly CGI'd face, You probably should have just left it out.
I tweeted like a screenshot earlier today. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't see. But okay, so like I understand that, and I heard people talk about this before I saw it, that his CGI Awayed mustache was very bad, but it looked like they took that out and they also like gave him more of a defined butt chin. Yeah, like Henry Cavill kind of has that Superman booty chin thing going on, but they like accentuated it even more.
Yeah.
So it's like, why did like make a super deep dimple inside his chin so that it stood out even worse?
I don't know. He's contractually obligated to keep that mustache for the next Mission Impossible sequel.
Why couldn't they just change the context of this footage? They could have been like, "Hey, Superman's coming to visit the Halloween parade, and he's dressed up as Santa Claus, and just turn the mustache white and add a beard after the fact." Like,
he's
Superman,
and he's been in the casket for months. He could have just had a beard.
Yeah,
like in the comics.
Like, it makes no sense. So many of the decisions they made were just stupid. Like, yes, in the comics, when Superman comes back from death, he has a beard. So that's an easy change you could make. Just give him a beard. And number two, like, you add a scene with this horrible CGI Superman after the fact that you didn't even need in the movie. It's like, that was, for me, like, when he came back, I didn't notice it as much, but that one scene where it's just a cell phone video of his face, like, you didn't need that. You added something terrible that was unnecessary.
I mean, this whole thing, they just backed themselves into a corner with just the horrible idea of using the whole death of Batman or death of Superman story or some of it and doing the whole, you know, the Dark Knight Returns story and Batman v Superman, where like you had to kill off Superman for some stupid reason. And
yeah, you could have done that in this movie. Then it would have, like, if you had Superman around the whole time, I guess there would have been no reason to form the Justice League. But if they had come up with some kind of way to make the death of Superman mean something, then you could have done a whole story that was just about either bringing him back or fighting an evil Superman or something like that, where there would have been more impact to these certain moments, like him dying and him coming back from the dead. Just both are like whatever moments. They don't really mean anything.
The Justice League cartoon, which premiered 16 years ago this past week, does a much better job of establishing the Justice League and why they came together and the whole group dynamic and everything.
Yeah, maybe they need to take some cues from it. Yeah, most of the DC cartoons are better than the DC movies, especially for this latest iteration of their shared universe. So
they're so like afraid that people are going to think that Aquaman is lame, that they have to make him into this buffed up dude bro,
and then keep him away from the water most of the movie.
Exactly.
It's like,
so what the hell use does he have?
You're not using any of his strengths at all.
There are no tunnels and canals.
Yeah, also, like, what does the trident actually do? Like, when he shows up, he sticks the trident in the ground and, like, holds the water back. Like, how does that work? Is it like a force field, or what's the deal?
Whatever the script demands.
Just a whole lot of questions and not many answers for this movie that some people were anticipating. I feel like
I was not.
I was my expectations were sufficiently lowered, so I feel
it was like it.
Fine.
It's a zeitgeist thing that you have to see. It's kind
of
like,
yeah, I literally
part
did
of your
it.
Job.
I literally watched it as homework. Because I was going to show up today saying, like, yeah, I didn't see. Maybe
I'm
too
terrible. But that's the reason why I got off my ass on Monday night to go to that damn press screening. Like, I didn't want to stand in line to go watch the damn thing. But hey, it's free, and you know, people are gonna be, you know, it's gonna be in the news.
Gotta
and,
be
you
topical.
Know, podcast.
Yeah, we got. Well, it's out of the way now. Check that off the list. Back to normal life.
Coco comes out next week by Pixar.
All right. Will you be in line to see that?
No.
Dave.
Well,
You're not a Mexican guitar enthusiast?
Mexican guitar, Day of the Dead, Night of the Dead.
Dia de los Muertos. But
that's
yeah.
interesting.
It does. It would be a cultural learning experience for me if I did check it out. Maybe I will at some point, but no rush.
Did you see the teaser trailer for The Incredibles 2? I have not.
No, I've only seen a poster. I still haven't seen The Incredibles 1. And I keep getting like reminded of it whenever people like talk about how horrible the Fantastic Four is. Like, you know, they did the Fantastic Four better in The Incredibles.
And, much like, better.
So I need to check that out. I'm going to make a special appointment.
All the times it's been on TV, never.
No. I have not had cable in a number of years, so I would not have stumbled upon it in that matter. Although there is a deal going on for anybody listening who's interested, cord cutters out there, or even just cheap people in general. DirecTV Now, they have like their birthday or anniversary discount. It's $25 off of your first month, which is makes it $10 for their basic package. So I feel like try a month of DirecTV Now for $10 is not bad. So I may sign up for that myself.
I realize that I spend a lot of time on like YouTube and like watching videos and stuff, but I hate like the fact that, you know, I can't listen to it outside of the app. So I have canceled my Spotify account and now I have a YouTube Red account.
Okay. Yeah, because I feel like I go to YouTube more for music than any other.
Yes, me too.
App. Because it's just like, I want to hear this song.
They have their own app too, the YouTube Music app.
So is it just all the music videos that are on YouTube, or what's the difference between that and the regular YouTube app?
It's the music videos, music, basically anything musically related that's
okay,
YouTube.
But I thought they had a Vivo app, so that's just something separate. I guess that's more official. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
But yeah, I've sometimes I'll just go on a run of being like, oh, I want to see the video for the song Left Right Left by ATL artist Drama. Yeah, sometimes I just get in the mood for that stuff, or I watch Rodeo by Crucial Conflict. Because I forget about all these, like, a lot of these, like, iconic songs I just remember on the radio. I forget that they actually have videos. So it's interesting to go back and see some of that.
Glad you mentioned rap, because we had a rap host and a rap musical guest on SNL last night. I watched none of it.
I kind of wish they swapped them. Because, like, when I saw that, I was like, Chance the Rapper is the... Because, number one, I was like, why isn't Chance the Rapper the host and musical guest? Well, yeah, but also, like, if you have a musician as the host, you usually just have him do both.
Double duty.
Yeah, but then I was like, they have Eminem as the musical guest. Well, that's great, but I also wanted to see Eminem host, because I don't think he ever has. And he's... I already know just from... his career that Eminem is funnier than Chance the Rapper.
Yes, he is.
So, like, I was hoping at the very least, I was like, okay, Eminem's got to at least cameo in one of these sketches. But, like, he wasn't in anything. I was sorely disappointed, except for the fact that he had an epic concert in the middle of the show. He did the same thing that Prince did in terms of not doing two musical performances, but just doing one long in the middle of the set, and it was just like it was a medley. He did a new song that he has, which is kind of like a spoken word piece, but I liked it. Then he went into a medley of like Stan, then a song he did with Rihanna, and then a few other songs, but I liked it. It was fun, and I'm getting more used to bearded Eminem. It was weird the first time I saw it. I was like, it put me off for a second.
He's in his early 40s.
Yeah. I understand that he can grow a beard. I've just never seen it. I mean, it took, I took, even a while just to get used to him without the blonde hair, even though it was clearly super dyed and bleached, but it was just like, I haven't seen your real hair since 8 Mile. So I had to adjust, especially because it was like super black at one point. So I think he actually dyed it.
Shut black.
But yeah.
Did you have a chance to either watch or hear about what happened at War Games NXT?
No, I plan on checking it out later. Usually what I end up doing when they have like these big pay-per-views with the NXT shows the night before, I watch the big pay-per-view and then I watch NXT like the Monday after, because it's just like, my wife doesn't want to watch wrestling, and definitely not twice in a row. So like, I can barely get her to watch a pay-per-view or a match or two from one of the Sunday pay-per-views. I end up watching NXT by myself.
Well, it's starting to look like the normal procedure of the NXT show being much better than the WWE main roster show.
Yeah. I mean, that's the tradition at this point. I wish that the sentiment was felt more often, that like, oh, we got to show up those kids who are trying to do better than us. Let's show them how the professionals do it. But then they tend to just,
you're implying that they run in the mill shit about their product.
I know they don't. I mean, although the thing that has made me more hopeful for Survivor Series, which is happening tonight, is the fact that all the matches got changed. Like, they announced all these matches in advance and then basically change every champion, on one side or the other.
Brock Lesnar matchup.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting people excited.
Yo, I'm so glad that got changed. I was slightly upset about the Shield tag match getting changed, and then I realized, oh, they're going to do Shield versus New Day. That's much better.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that stuff. But
and
yeah.
For some reason, this damn thing is going to be like 5 hours long.
Yeah, they always do. These big four shows now, they just have to make it a whole day-long event.
Can't do that in this day and age. And the internet and streaming and so many options. Nobody's going to sit down for 5 hours and watch wrestling
Even
or anything.
Like a two-hour pre-show. What
content are you going to fill that up with?
They just show a bunch of, like, from the times I've tried to peek in on it, it's been like, they'll show
bad interviews and sizzle reels.
Yeah, they'll show the video packages like over and over again. And they'll have like two matches over the course of this 2 hour pre-show, which is ridiculous. Like, you could fit an entire episode of television into the length of what their pre-show is. So I'm not checking that out at all. If somebody tells me a pre-show match was good, maybe I'll go back and watch that after the fact, but I never tune in before 7 o'clock.
I always forget about it.
Yeah, like my mind still is set to be like, oh, it's 7 o'clock, the pay-per-view is starting, and then like anything that happened before that is non-canon in my opinion. But
you see that your boy Green Arrow Stephen Amell is wrestling with the Bullet Club,
yeah,
at least for a night.
Yeah, he wrestled with them, and he was I don't know who they were wrestling, but he got put through a table during the match. So, I do enjoy like how much enthusiasm Stephen Amell has for wrestling, because there's so many like cameos, or at least I feel like they're past this point now. But they were in this run of like all these celebrities just using
the Raw guest host.
Yeah, using Raw guest host spot as like a promotional tool, just like the Today Show. And like, you could tell that none of them ever watched the product. It was like, oh, it's Hulk Hogan still around? It's like, they just had like very surface level knowledge of wrestling. But I appreciate the fact that Stephen Amell talked about being on Raw years before he ever got to be on Raw. And then he's just popped up over time in these different scenarios. So I enjoy
that. The Bob Barker episode worked on Raw when they were going through that old celebrity host thing. I thought that worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. And I feel like one of the best celebrity host moments, and I don't even think he was a fan, I just think he's like such a professional that he was like, I'm all in. That was Wayne Brady. Like, he hosted Raw, and Randy Orton came out and RKO'd him, and Wayne Brady sold that and just laid face down in the ring for like the next 30 minutes. Like, they had a whole, like, segment around him, and it just, like, he stayed there. So I did enjoy that. But yeah, so, good for Stephen Amell. I mean, you get that jacked for a television role. You should go and use that.
Hell yeah.
Somewhere. It's like, you know what? I look like a wrestler. Let me just go do that. I saw on I guess he's getting his neck checked on. I saw on Twitter. But I think he's all right.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
There he is. Staying with the whole wrestling thing.
All right.
This is a story I saw early in the week, but I see that you saw it as well. Our old buddy David Otunga is in a little bit of a marital / legal trouble.
Yeah, and there's some conflicting stories on this subject. Yeah. So
that was kind of fishy.
Yeah, because I think the initial story that came out first was that Jennifer Hudson was getting a protection order or whatever to keep David Otunga away because he exhibited abusive tendencies. I don't think she ever used the term that he actually like hit her or anything.
Abusive tendencies.
Yeah. I think that was a like alternative rock band back in the 90s. But then another story I saw where it was saying that she cheated on him. And then he confronted her about it, and then she got the protection order. And I've seen like people in comments be like, "Yeah, she got that protection order to protect the dude that she's cheating with." So I've like from the little bit that I know about Jennifer Hudson in her past, that sounds
she's kind of an idiot.
Yeah, it sounds kind of likely, but I'm not.
Because you look at that whole. The whole situation with her family being murdered by one of her, like, that's just, she knows how to date guys.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was her sister's whole issue, but she's had her own, like, I think the person she was with during the American Idol, she just dumped him and got with David Otunga to begin with. So it seems like kind of like the same thing happening over again. It sounds about right, but apparently David Otunga, because of that, David Otunga is not going to be at Survivor Series, and I didn't know he was going to be there anyway.
No.
I guess he's going to be on the pre-show panel.
Yeah, I think he's been on like the pre-shows of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but who cares?
That's like the only time we've seen him.
Yeah, but that's the messed up thing about this. Like, if it is the second story in that she's kind of just... running his name through the mud to cover up something that she's doing. It's kind of,
I don't think I'm a fan of hers.
Yeah. It's like, you're potentially ruining this guy's, his one line of income, because
but he's a lawyer.
Something you did. I mean, he's a lawyer. I don't think he practices at all. I haven't seen, David Otunga, Esquire in court anywhere. Otunga Slater Sheffield Barrett and Associates. Like, he should just open a firm with the former members of the Nexus. But yeah, so I did see a couple of posts to be like, well, you can see his violent tendencies with this 8-on-1 assault he made on John Cena. Like, it's just funny, people trolling.
Fake wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did
you see this country singer? He has created a song called Take a Knee, comma, My Ass. He wants his ass to take a knee, apparently.
Okay, I have not heard about this, so.
Twitter had fun with it.
Yeah. A
couple of days ago.
Taking ass. How about that? I mean, you know, lots of people are mad about these black athletes protesting and using their platform as a way to speak out against injustice. But the people who tend to get mad about it, I feel like there's a theme brewing. But, you know.
Neil McCoy is his name. And
is he related to Hank the Beast?
Hank the Beast McCoy.
Yeah. Doubtful, being that he's an imaginary character.
All right.
I've been on 15 USO tours, McCoy said to WCMH. I've entertained our troops in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and all over the world. So, no, this is not a money grab. This is a guy that believes in our country and does not like people kneeling, not standing with their hands over their hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. That's what I'm about.
Good or done. That's all I heard there.
McCoy also recently took aim at the recent GQ cover naming former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick Citizen of the Year, saying he doesn't like the way the man is protesting. Now, I didn't read the article. Of course you didn't.
I saw
it when I was driving. I understand they are probably going to say he's done a life of civil, done a lot for civil rights and everything, and maybe he has. Maybe whether he was trying to do was civil unrest, maybe African Americans being treated wrong or not equally, and some of that's right. Maybe that's what he's trying to do, but taking a knee during the national anthem at a professional NFL game is not a way to do it.
Like, that's such a sacred moment. Like, the national anthem at a football game is
stupid.
One of our most precious institutions.
They didn't start doing that until, like, fairly recently, like the late 80s or like the 90s or something, when they would have the national anthem before the games.
Yeah. So, yeah, get over it. I mean, speaking of music, not country music, but something that's more in my wheelhouse, hip hop. For people in Chicago, there is a new station for hip hop fans.
Old school hip hop fans.
Yeah, I enjoy old school hip hop, and I feel like this new station that just got flipped from former, I don't think they've gotten the new Carl letters yet, but former WJMK, they were, what were they? They've been through a bunch of changes. They were,
Oldies 104.3.
Yeah, they were Oldies 104 just, before that. Then they were Jack.
Jack.
A little while back. And then, what were they,
K-Hits.
K-Hits,
up until,
was that Love Wednesday? At some point, or is it Love? Oh, that was a different one. But anyway. So they got flipped. They did. They changed
CBS
formats.
CBS has been bought by
Intercom.
Intercom.
So it's just CBS Radio was bought, right? It's not anything else connected to CBS. It's weird because CBS Radio, like, I'm trying to remember the history of it. Like, they didn't exist as a radio entity. Didn't they buy somebody else to get CBS Radio, and now that's been bought off? Away from
the Infinity Broadcasting?
I believe so. So now, what's the deal with all of the other CBS radio stations? Because they got B96.
Yeah, they're all still together. It's a merger between CBS Radio and this
Okay.
company.
So they're just handling the radio stuff, I
Yeah,
guess.
Exactly. Some of this, they did the same thing in like New York and a couple of other big markets with the flipping of the formats.
Okay.
Formats I read. So.
In, So this flip just happened, and it's a weird thing. Like, I feel like torn. I guess I don't have any specific connections, which I, from what I've heard so far, but like, I was
Ryan
torn.
Ryan Peck was hired 2 weeks ago, and now he's unemployed.
Goddamn. Yeah, so it's like, I felt torn as like a hip hop fan and a guy who is on the outskirts of the radio industry, but like,
be happy.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm happy for this new radio station, but I'm sad because I'm sure I know some people that got fired, like as you said. I was like, oh, well, that's why I posted about it. I was like, well, I'll enjoy this while it lasts. I'm sorry if you got fired. But I've listened to it so far, and I feel like...
Yeah, how is it? I'm interested.
I feel like it's right in my wheelhouse of my era, which on one hand makes me like, this is throwback, and I'm like, man, I'm old.
Cause what like, era have they been, what music have they been
doing? I feel like they're doing like, I don't know, from what I've heard is like mid-90s maybe to the 2000s, because I've even heard, actually I think they're like doing, as far as the 2010s, I feel like it's hip-hop and R&B hits from all of those eras, and I think that's the unifying thing, because I heard, because I think
so not the deep cuts, the B-sides,
no, so they play like, I don't know this artist at all, but I love this song, like that song, If your game is drunk, give me a call, boo. Yeah. And then I think right after that, they played the song,
I don't even know, it's summertime.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely summertime. I remember being on vacation in Atlanta. Hearing that. Yeah. It's like certain songs just trigger a thing. Like, oh, I know where I was at this point. But then, they went all the way up to recent music in terms of that song with, 50 Cent and Jeremiah. What is it? Put it down on me.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're just doing like hip hop hits and they have a wide range.
They don't have jocks hired yet. It's pretty much just music.
No, they said it's, this, if anything, like listening to this will let you know how fake some radio station claims are though, because they're in some of their imaging that they play, like the new 104.3 Jams, Chicago's number one for throwbacks, like number one.
It's like, the only one.
Like, no, besides that, like that's not even true. Cause they still put themselves in the category of like V103 and like Soul 106 and stuff. But anyway, it's like, that's not true. You just slid out of the womb this week. So you're not number one in anything. Like this radio station is still attached to the umbilical cord and they're already claiming number one. That just lets you know, like all these other claims, like Power 92 claims number one in the streets. Like, what? That doesn't even mean anything. If I went out
of the, when they're on the street corner doing drug deals and shit, at 1 they're
listening
in the
morning. To Power 92. I mean, that's highly likely, actually, but still, I still don't think they have any tangible measurement of that. Like, we're number one amongst drug dealers and prostitutes.
They participate in the Nielsen.
Yeah, you have like these prostitutes with people meters on their waist. But this
could be a good job opportunity. I don't know.
I mean, I guess they're gonna hire at some point for this. They gotta have some kind of morning show eventually. But like they're completely commercial free as of right now. So I'm enjoying that. It's just like it's like tuning into a satellite radio station. But you know, that's
like most people do instead of radio.
Yeah. Cause it's funny because like I listen to Backspin and, on Sirius FM, Sirius XM, they had their old school hip hop station. So this is like having an FM version of that. So I'm enjoying it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything that's standing out is that we need to talk about. I feel like we talked about the big stories of the week.
We need to talk about Coolio possibly being the running mate to a porn star for president in 2020.
Tell me about this. This is the first of I'm hearing about this story.
Porn star Sherry DeVille. Are you does that sound familiar to you?
Not at all.
She's considering a presidential run with Coolio.
That's the problem, though, right there, is that you need name recognition. Like, there's porn stars out there. It's like, oh, I know who that is. Like, you need that Donald Trump level. Yeah, you need that Donald Trump level name recognition. So that's already working against her. I mean,
Lexington Steel.
Yeah, like, now that you've mentioned it, like, he'd be the perfect candidate because he always has the hat on and, like, he could just have his own version of the Make America Great Again hat, like, Make America Hard Again. Yeah, because he's steel and he can campaign on the idea of bringing steel industry back to prominence because Trump's whole thing is coal. So, yeah, I feel like we've just come up with a writing candidate already. But let's see about her campaign.
The DeVille Coolio slogan is "Make America Fucking Awesome Again." Not as good as I thought it would be.
No, and much like the previous statement, it's like remind me of the fucking awesome era of America, because I would like to visit that if it was true.
Coolio, man, he looks fucking old, man. You see this picture on the Huffington Post?
Yeah. Have you seen him without the hat, the strategically cut out hat? He has no hair except for those braids now.
Those thinning ass. He's got the goddamn Stevie Wonder cornrows braids. Yeah. His hair is like receding.
It's like one of the pictures I've seen. He's like completely bald aside from the braids. So that's a weird choice. But yeah, so Sherry DeVille.
Though she hasn't officially filed and won't until she is convinced there's enough momentum to pursue it seriously, she does have a website, pornstarforpresident.com. In August, she released an introductory video featuring Coolio, a former pro wrestler named Virgil.
I was like, his face was cut off in this picture, but like the wrestling superstar Virgil, like he finally got up from his seldom attended autograph signing table and decided to come over here. All right.
Like Trump, DeVille doesn't have political experience, though she did play Hillary Clinton, a candidate who in true porn fashion has sex with fellow candidate Donald Trump, played by Charles Dera in an adult film. I honestly didn't learn anything about being president from that scene except that I hate pantsuits, she said.
Crotchless pantsuit.
When DeVille isn't making films like Helpless Hogtied Heroines, I blackmailed my stepmom and our Latin babysitter. She works as a physical therapist.
Calls him Latin. I guess that's probably what Donald Trump would call him. My Latin babysitter. AKA my new wife. So this reminds me of that circus that was like the California governor's election. Yeah,
Mary Carey.
Yeah, Mary Carey. It was like a bunch of celebrities. Coleman. Yeah, Gary Coleman. Because was that before or after Schwarzenegger won the first time?
Cause that I feel was like, before.
Okay, because I feel like that was what broke the seal for him. So
Gray Davis, I think, was the governor.
Yeah.
Got recalled, and then
they were just like, Schwarzenegger. Hey, anybody can go for it now.
Yeah. Then Schwarzenegger made his announcement on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yeah, memories. So I guess Donald Trump broke the seal for the weirdos and wackadoos on the national level. So hopefully there's a higher profile porn star who follows up on this, because like in the era that we're in now, it's not far off. Seeing a porn star get national recognition like this, but just not this one.
We have a porn star first lady.
I mean, that's true. She is. She has it's probably on her IMDb. It's some softcore porn. So there you go. Also, wasn't Donald Trump in like one of those Playboy videos? I think, but probably.
Yeah. He was in a movie called "Ghosts Can't Do It," starring Bo Derek. And a few other people.
Of course he was.
But that was a mainstream movie.
Yeah. I'm sure there was lines around the block on day one of that one. So, Porn Star for President 2020.
Do you plan on doing any traveling for Thanksgiving this year? Or are you going to be chilling at home?
Yeah, I will be at home. Enjoying a small intimate dinner, and that's it.
No, you Thanksgiving is one of the holidays, the few holidays that you celebrate, correct? Because we know you don't celebrate birthdays or Halloween or Christmas.
It's not that I don't celebrate them. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I celebrate birthdays. I don't do a lot on my birthday, but.
That's what celebrating is.
I'll go out and I'll go out and have dinner, maybe buy myself something. Like, I'm not a child. There's nobody buying me a cake. My parents don't get me birthday presents. That's the celebrating I think of children. You get a
your
bunch.
Wife doesn't buy you present or a present.
My wife is my present, so she doesn't need to do anything. Just her staying in a reasonable proximity to me is all the gift I want. But Thanksgiving, I cook on Thanksgiving. I don't do like a huge like spread, like I'm gonna feed 10 people, because I'm not, but we do a turkey. Sometimes we'll do ham and all that stuff. So
is that the greens and the macaroni and cheese?
That's the one thing about me, is that I wish I could revoke my black card, because I hate greens and cornbread, like two African American staples. I've never liked them. And people always tell me like, oh, you just haven't had the right one. You get the person you had it from can't cook. And then they're giving me theirs. They're like, yeah, I still don't like it. I don't.
Like, I mean, cornbread is like, it depends on like what I'm eating. Like if I mean like beans and rice, so I'll eat some cornbread. It's kind of unnecessary.
The thing with me is that I've always had like an aversion to combining foods. Like I don't like, most of the time I don't like salty stuff with sweet stuff. Like I've just recently gotten used to like eating sweet potatoes with my food. I usually like eat the regular food and then eat the sweet potatoes after. Yeah, like this is dessert. I eat this afterwards. I finally started to break the seal on that.
I used to be that way, actually. Yeah, I don't object.
Yeah, so it's like I wouldn't have like a slice of apple pie on a plate with anything else.
Chicken,
like,
and everything
it's like,
else.
It's like a separate thing. So
I still fucking hate cranberry sauce. Any variation of it.
Like, I've had it good sometimes, but like, it's been rare.
The canned ocean spray one where you just open it up and drop it.
You have all the ridges fucking on it. It's like, no, that's
big the wob is shaped like the can.
I mean, the trick to that is that you can actually just cook that after you take it out and use it as like a topping for your turkey or whatever. And that's another one of the small few things that are like, okay, this is sweet, but I can put this with something else. But yeah, I'm weird with some of my food, choices, but yeah, if it was up to me, I wouldn't have any greens or cornbread. My wife likes greens. She's very picky about them, but she likes them.
I am too. I like leafy greens, which I guess is like, I always get it mixed up with the turnip, mustard, and collard. I think collard is the leafy one.
Okay. Yeah. I have no idea. I just know I like really more of what I like in terms of vegetables, period. Like, I rather just have raw vegetables. I don't like, I feel like there's not even any real nutritional value of eating like something that's been boiled for like 2 hours. Cause it's like, like this is just dead lettuce in my opinion. Cause, when I briefly, worked with the people at Divine Healing Herbs, they did a radio show, Divine Healing Herbs. If you ever listen to WVON, they have commercials where.
Is that like the fucking, there's always this woman on like the, one of the canned TV stations here in Chicago Public Access where she's talking about like your colon cleanse and like.
Yeah, that might be, she might be the person, cause it's, I can't remember their last names.
My mom is a fan.
Their last names are both Owens. They did a radio show on Sunday mornings that I used to work, I used to board op for them. And they would talk about colon cleanses and they would talk about like the health of different vegetables and what they would be used for. And he's talking about the fact that like the longer you cook those greens, the less nutritional value they have. You are eating dead flesh, dead food. Like, so it really hammered that in. I'm a believer in that now. Like fresh vegetables, like since I've grown tomatoes this past year, like I taste the difference completely. Like I made a couple of tomato soups with just tomatoes that I pulled out of my garden and it like tastes so different. Like just eating, cause I've eaten some of them straight off the vine. I'm like, oh, there's no like huge, hard, like stony part next to the stem. It's like, you could basically eat the whole thing.
See, so, I'm not like, I don't, I'm getting less and less tolerable with like cold, like vegetables, like a salad, like a cool-ass
chewy salad. Like, I want something like nice and warm that I can eat with like a meat.
Yeah, that's the thing that I like more about, like I said, with the tomatoes. Like, I ate one straight off the vine. It's like, oh, it's not cold. It's like just been out in the sun, and it's a whole different experience. It takes some getting used to, but I like that better. Also, I realized why I haven't liked my, why I wasn't liking my tacos at home as much as, like, out at a restaurant. I was like, you do all this work cooking this meat and keeping it hot and putting cheese on it and melting the cheese and doing all this stuff, and then you put cold ass salsa on it.
Lettuce.
Yeah. And I was like, I realized, like, okay, I got to figure something else out with that. So I just started mixing the salsa in with the meat. So now it's all hot straight on the taco. Like, yeah, mixing cold and hot stuff, it doesn't really work a lot of times.
This is where I would use the emoji of that black dude pointing at his head. He was using that is a great idea.
Yeah, like, because even with some of those, have you ever gotten those taco packs where they have the shells with the sauce and the seasoning in it?
Yeah, the hard,
yeah.
Which already bent up.
Well, that's why I like the, they have like the Doritos type of tacos at the stores now. And they have the flat bottoms, so they stand up on their own.
Yeah.
But like, I usually use those sauces from there and put all of that into the meat so that I don't have to put salsa on top of it. I also got the, they have the Taco Bell sauce in the bottle at the grocery store now.
I bought them. I like their sauces, and I like their taco seasoning.
Yeah, so I've been trying that out. So Taco Tuesday is now expanded to Taco Saturday and Sunday. it's like a Herschel from Walking Dead. He was like, we should have Spaghetti Tuesdays on a Wednesday. And I think it was a good idea. Anyway.
Hey, are you one of these people that give a shit about Black Friday or Cyber Monday?
No, because every Friday to me is Black Friday. So it's not special. You got to have the budget for that type of stuff, and I tend to not. So I don't.
So you're saying
I'm looking out for.
You couldn't afford Injustice 2 for $14 at GameStop on Cyber Monday next Monday?
If I wanted Injustice 2, then that might be something I'm in the wheelhouse for. But I've started to, I don't know, I'm very narrowly focused on my video game games that I play.
I am too.
I had the first Injustice, actually, and I never played. Well, no, I had DC versus Mortal Kombat. Never played it.
I bought Star Wars Battlefront, the first one, a couple of years ago. I played it maybe like 2 weeks, and I've never played it again.
Yeah, it's just weird because like I'll play my WWE games like hours and hours, multiple days a week, and then I'll be like, okay, I should try another game. I'll play that game for like an hour, and I'm like, I'm tired of this. I'll go back to WWE game.
It's like I don't know if I have the time to invest in like in a fucking RPG, or I wish there was like some good old school like side scrolling games instead of these games where you have to invest so much time in. You have to like explore like a whole open world and do all this other stuff.
And that's the problem. Like even with your beloved Cuphead, like I've watched gameplay videos on that and seen the reviews. I'm like, no, this game actually looks too hard. Like I'm not.
Yes, it is.
So I that kept me away from it. So, yeah. And also one thing that I run into with, playing it, trying any new games really is just these long ass cutscenes with stuff you have to listen to.
Yeah.
Like I play my games on mute while I'm watching other things. I don't have time.
I don't want to go, damn it.
It's like, all right, whatever. I'll figure it out. It's like, oh, you got to listen to all these instructions and then have the captions on screen. It's like,
people watch movies now. They're not even video games.
Yeah. It's like, you really, like, for some of these games, that has to be your full viewing experience. Like, I can't just play this game passively and watch TV. It's like, this is your viewing experience. Like, I don't want to play a movie. I want to play a game passively as I watch a movie. But, yeah.
I've heard like The Witcher 3 is like a really good game, a really good adventure game, but it's like, okay. I've never played the original Witcher or Witcher 2, so I feel
Witcher
like,
2 or Electric Boogaloo, so you'd exactly. be lost. I feel like
I'm
most,
jumping into a sequel.
I feel like, I don't know about nowadays, but I feel like I've played like the second Assassin's Creed game, and I don't feel like I wasn't trying to catch up, so I don't know if I did miss out on some critical information, but it's like, it seems
Fallout
like some
4.
Of these games you could jump into. That is one game I do like is Assassin's Creed, because it seems simple enough where you could just get into it and start running around and jumping on stuff. I don't like the games where you like have to avoid cops, though, because it's just like, or like right. where do I go? Well, that and
those games are fun, man.
I like the driving element of Grand Theft Auto and like running around.
I like the murder and raping. And
I'm gonna isolate that clip, and I'm gonna publish it. But
the assault.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, David Otunga.
You're welcome. Allegedly.
But yeah, so I do like that aspect of it. But when cops chase me, I just get too nervous. Like, where do I go?
Just kill him.
Yeah. But like, I wish it was just. I'm sure there's all these like different
kill
hacks.
Kill anything that moves.
I know there's just hacks and cheats and stuff that I would, if I could just turn police off and I could just drive around, smash into stuff with no consequences, I would like that better. But yeah, I still have to like try to diversify my gaming palette.
I just feel like I need and I think that this is your problem too. We just need a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, because
so we
like
finally play Breath of the Wind.
Yeah, because like
Mario
those games
Odyssey.
Are in our wheelhouse. Like, hey, here's a light passive game that you could enjoy at your leisure while this device drains very fast. But yeah, eventually maybe a loyal fan out there will contact us on at frustratedgrad@gmail.com and bequeath to us two Nintendo Switches.
Bequeath.
One can only hope. I don't think there's much more. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we wrapped up for the week?
No, not really. I didn't watch anything good on TV. I
have not watched Punisher yet. I'm ready for that, but like I feel like one thing I heard is that it was pushed back a lot because of all the recent shootings. And I feel like that hurt the marketing of Punisher because I like forgot about it until they were like, hey, Punisher's on Netflix. I was like, oh yeah. So, I do want to check that out.
John, what's his name? John Burson as the Punisher. Like,
I feel like he did a good job in Daredevil season 2.
Hated him on The Walking Dead.
Shane. I mean, I hated his character, but I thought his portrayal was good. But like,
yeah,
he was a cuckolding bastard. also, like, where are you in terms of Stranger Things? Did you watch it? What's the deal with that?
I've seen a few of the first of season 3 okay. or season 2.
All right. So you got some catching up to do. So get on it. We'll come back with some
TV
reviews
right
next week.
Right now.
But I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think of what else, if there's anything else good that I'm watching. I just finished my first full season of Project Runway with my wife.
Why? Because
wife. Like I'm not
Heidi
sitting
Klum
there watching
there.
It on my own. Yeah, she's pretty attractive. Hello. She's just like a Barbie. But yeah, I just finished watching that, so that took up some of my time. I need to get back to White Famous. I got a few things I need to catch up on. Flash, I'm behind on. Way behind on Arrow.
I don't think I've seen a single episode of this season.
I'm hearing like glimpses as I'm covering my ears. I'm hearing bits and pieces of good things about Arrow. So I would like to catch up, but it's just like I have to sit down and do it. So, yeah.
I've watched every episode of The Flash this season, but not from start to finish because it comes on the same time as like SmackDown and a couple of
You're just catching it on
things.
As it's live on the air.
I know Elongated Man, or at least the guy that's supposed to be him, is there.
Okay.
The ex-cop guy who's now part of the team.
I've heard the name Elongated Man. So is he basically just DC's Mr. Fantastic?
Yes, exactly.
So he just stretches out. Like, that type of character has never been done right, in my opinion. So, like, I'm curious as to how they're like, hey, my powers, I stretch really far. Like, how are they going to do that on their budget, and how's it going to not look goofy is what I'm curious about. So I need to catch up for that reason alone. Throughout the week, as we're doing our binges to get back to current so we can be hip with the kids, let people know where they can tweet at you.
Do
GIFs.
We have to?
Yes, we do. It's homework. Homework, just like Justice League. That's going to be the next entry into the DC universe, like DC presents homework for pop culture.
This will not be fun.
Yeah, Justice League homework. So where can people tweet at you GIFs of their favorite moments from the epic Justice League movie?
Yeah, just tweet me the trailer to Black Panther.
Yeah.
My Twitter handle is @AnthonyHoffman. You can find me on Facebook. Just search Anthony Hoffman. And my Instagram handle is @TonyHoffmanChai, Tony Hoffman C-H-I.
I am on the Twitter @ZachReviews. That's Z-A-C Reviews. I am also on YouTube at youtube.com/ZachHughes. That is where you can find the video version of this podcast. And you can find the audio version on iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can tweet the podcast any of your thoughts or random ramblings now that you have all these extra characters on Twitter @FrustratedGrad. You can, if you want, you can go to our page, frustratedgrad.com, and donate by clicking the PayPal button or giving us a 5-star or thumbs up or whatever the highest rating the site will allow on any of the podcast providers that you are listening on. With that, I will say thanks for watching if you're watching on YouTube or elsewhere, and thanks for listening. But for YouTube viewers, that's all you get for today. All right. Now it's just me, you audio listener.
And me.
Yeah, it's us and you. It's just between us. It's bonus time. All right. So, it's pretty Justice League heavy. So... Justice League at the BO. I didn't even notice the headline. It said Justice League encounters Kryptonite at the BO. I like that as an abbreviation for box office. Like, what's the BO report for this weekend? Strong BO this weekend, I would say. Anyways, Justice League. I wish it had like a subtitle, because then I could play with that. Justice League Dark. Justice League.
Truth, Justice, and an American Waste.
Truth, Justice, and an American Waste.
Too long.
I mean, it's not bad. Truth, Justice, and American Waste. Although it makes me think of poop. So maybe...
That's what the movie was going for.
Yeah, I mean, the poop soup that was used to wake up Superman, I guess. Russell Simmons. I forget about that. A lot of people are, like, banging kids nowadays. You heard about this? You seen this?
We'll isolate that audio.
I mean, that could be, like, if you wanted to sum up 2017, it'd just be like, a lot of guys are banging kids.
That's, like, the perfect intro to, like, either a book or, like, a narration of, like, a movie or a TV show.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. A lot of people were banging kids. And then the murders began.
A lot of people are banging kids.
Yeah. It's like, that's the thing. Some chick who was once on Jerry Springer, is accusing Mick Foley of, sexually abusing her as a 15-year-old. But I don't think I believe her. Cause she's been gone by multiple different names, so it's unreliable source. Alright, Take a Knee for Justice League. Justice League, my ass. let me see. Just Us League. Justice for Superman. Super Foreclosure.
Didn't we have a similar title last? What was our title last?
We did League of Extraordinary Creeps. So we did the had League in there. So
Aqua Piss.
Piss Man. Justice.
DC. DC D's nuts.
Also, I didn't know until this year that DC was short for Detective Comics. So
what the hell's wrong with you?
I mean, I knew Detective Comics existed, and I knew DC was a thing, but I always heard DC Comics, so I didn't know their name was a redundant.
DC Comics.
Yeah, like now I understand what that on Cinema Sins they always give a sin for DC Comics. Like that's just redundant. Like Detective Comics, like say ATM Machine.
Justice League homework.
yeah. Justice League colon homework. I wouldn't mind that. Cause it's curious enough, like, what does this mean? Let me check it out. Doing your superhero homework or homework for pop culture. I'll just say Justice League colon homework.
Justice League colon.
Colon cleanse. That's a theme of the show, I guess. There's colons. There's a lot of colons involved. But anyway.
Justice League Unlimited. Justice League Unwatchable.
That's slightly hyperbolic.
Oh, you don't think it's unwatchable?
I mean, I was able to watch it. I did fall asleep at one point, but I watched it.
You're lying.
Anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to that after the show. But I'd probably stick with Justice League.
Why wouldn't that be? That would have been perfectly acceptable to talk about during the podcast.
I mean, nothing relevant was missed from what I've gathered. Which is
slept through the whole damn movie and not missed anything.
Yeah. Actually, we'll get to it later. But yeah, I'll go with Justice League homework. And there you go. So, with that, I will say that's it for this audio version of the podcast. Flap, flap.